ओम ज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः.
So Prabhupada starts his commentary on this song by alluding to the verse spoken by Rupa Goswami Prabhupada when he met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Prayag. Rupa Goswami had first met Lord Chaitanya at Gaur, means at Ramkeli. At Ramkeli, that's the village next to Gaur, which was the, from that word, that Gaur, that was the capital of Bengal, from which we get the name Gauriya. So at that time, Rupa and Sanatan, they were ministers of the king, practically by force, because they were very intelligent. They had been made ministers, prime minister and finance minister of the Muslim king of Bengal. And the king, Nawab Hussein Shah, he was very affectionate to them, and he had given them tremendous riches for their services. But they weren't happy because they wanted to be Krishna conscious, which isn't surprising because they are eternal associates of Lord Krishna in the spiritual world. So they were regularly sending letters to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and eventually Lord Chaitanya came to Ramakeli. And at night, Rupa and Sanatan, in disguise, went to meet Lord Chaitanya, because being ministers of the Muslim king, they couldn't openly go to meet him. So Lord Chaitanya gave them their new names, Rup Sanatan. Otherwise, previously they were known as Dabir Kas and Sakar Malik. So Lord Chaitanya told them, okay, now come out of this. Get out of this material life. Come and join me. Told them, you are my eternal servants, birth after birth. So Rupa Goswami was fairly easily able to get out of his ministerial duties. And after going to his family home and settling some affairs there, he came with his brother, Vallabh, to meet Lord Chaitanya. He had received a message that Lord Chaitanya was proceeding from Puri to Vrindavan. So Rup and Anupam, Vallabh, they went along the path of the Ganga from Bengal, knowing that at some point they're going to meet Lord Chaitanya. And when they came to Prayag, the holy place of the confluence of the Yamuna and Ganga, they got the news that Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he is here. And there were huge crowds surrounding Lord Chaitanya, because that was the time of the Magh Mela. It means every year there's a fair there where many thousands of people come. So Lord Chaitanya was chanting the holy names in ecstasy and attracting the attention of all the assembled pious people. So Rup and Anupam made their way through the crowd and from some distance fell down before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, offering obeisances. And at that time, Rupa Goswami recited this prayer, which has now become famous. Namo Mahabhada Nyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Trishe Namaha. Namo Mahabhada Nyaya. He offers his respectful obeisances to Lord Chaitanya as the most munificent incarnation, because he is giving Krishna Prem. No one gives Krishna Prem. Yeah. All the different incarnations came, but only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Krishna Prem. Which now, of course, we sit and we listen and we say, yes, yes, heard this before. I know this already. But we have no way to measure what is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are so many machines for measuring height and length, depth, and density. So many sound, radio waves, you can measure so many things. But what is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya? That cannot be measured. And Rupa Goswami was particularly feeling in his own case how I was entangled in material life and Lord Chaitanya saved me. He was feeling such ecstasy that I was just entangled in politics and money matters, and now I don't have anything else to do but to serve Lord Chaitanya. He was feeling his great fortune. So Krishnaya, he's offering obeisances to Lord Chaitanya. Who is Krishna? Rupa Goswami is offering his obeisances. Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prem Pradayate Krishnaya is the next one. Answer Krishna. Krishna Chaitanya Namne, who is called Krishna Chaitanya. Krishna Chaitanya was the name given to Lord Chaitanya when he took sannyas, although it is his eternal name. Just like we find Garga Muni is giving names to Krishna and Balaram, but their names are eternal. We find that Agni gave Krishna his Sudarshan disc, but that is Krishna's eternally. Just as a Leela, when Krishna comes to this world, people give him certain things which already belong to him. There are so many examples. Lakshmi was born from the ocean, And then she was claimed by Lord Vishnu. But she's always with Lord Vishnu. So if Krishna Chaitanya is Lord Chaitanya's eternal name, what does Chaitanya mean? I think the word's almost the same in Russian, isn't it? What is that? Chaitanya means consciousness. Is some other word similar to that?
In Russian?
No. All right. So Chaitanya means consciousness. So Krishna Chaitanya means Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada comments that Lord Chaitanya, his name, his very name means Krishna consciousness. And he is Krishna consciousness personified. When Prabhupada first explained Chaitanya Charitamrita to the devotees, he explained what is the meaning of this, of the name of this book. So normally we would think that Chaitanya Charitra Amrita means the nectarian character or activities of Lord Chaitanya. That is the straightforward translation of Chaitanya Charitamrita. The nectarian pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Mm-hmm. And Prabhupada translated it a different way. He said, Chaitanya, that means consciousness, so that is the characteristic of the living force. And Charita means character. And Amrita means no death, so that means eternity. So Chaitanya Charitamrita means the character of the living force in eternity. So what is the eternal characteristic of the living force? Krishna consciousness. We are all by nature eternally Krishna conscious living beings. We are all Krishna conscious. But the very peak or the topmost level of Krishna consciousness is personified as Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And Sri Krishna Chaitanya is giving Krishna consciousness. Just like that Krishna consciousness is there in everybody, but it needs to be awakened. Just like fire is within wood, but you need to apply some fire to make the fire come out. So in the same way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like the blazing sun of Krishna consciousness that ignites the fire, the dormant fire of Krishna consciousness in the hearts of other living beings. And that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. Jare deke tare kaha kaha Krishna naam. Krishna naame dubailo navadipogram. When Lord Chaitanya was in Navadip, everyone he met, he told them, chant Hare Krishna. And when Lord Chaitanya told people to chant Hare Krishna, they chanted Hare Krishna. Because he is Krishna consciousness personified. Just like in this, even in this world, we see some people are very influential. They can get people to do things just by telling them. They have some charisma. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had this spiritual force that just by, actually even without telling them, many just by seeing him, people would chant Hare Krishna. And this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread Krishna consciousness. There's much to be said about this. But now it is time for arati. Rupa and Sanatan, they wrote so many books on Lord Chaitanya's order, explaining how we may also become Krishna conscious. So they've given regulated practice of Krishna consciousness with activities such as joining in kirtan with the devotees. So we can do that now and we can discuss more later. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Nityananda Prabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveta Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaura Premanande Hari Bol. It's Archie now, huh? Time for Archie. Chant Hare Krishna. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Giving this instruction, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu danced and danced, round and round. Jai Shakal Bipod, Bhakti Vinod, Balen, Jokan, Onanda. All problems go away when you chant Hare Krishna. So this is practical. Prabhupada used to say that religion without practical experience of God, that's no religion. Often people ask us, because I was just in Tatarstan where there's so many Muslims, often people ask us that, what is this compared to Christianity or Islam? But it's not a matter of a label. Designation. Prabhupada used to use that term. Designation. Sarvopadhi viniramuktam tatparatvena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesha. Sevanam bhakti. The devotional service means being free from all designations, engaging our service, senses in the service of the master. So even designations like Hindu, Muslim, Christian, they're also obstacles on the path of understanding. The only designation is to be bhuvivata, Hare Kamalaya, Dasa, Dasa, and Dasaha. To identify oneself as a servant, of the servant, servants of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Does anyone have any questions? Mm-hmm. Pure devotee means? Yes. Mm-hmm. A pure devotee must be self-realized. But when we say pure devotee, there are levels of pure devotees and there are levels of self-realization also. In Srila Prabhupada's books, we see the term devotee and pure devotee being used in different contexts. In different ways. Sometimes, just like Lord Chaitanya once said, devotee means anyone who chants the name of Krishna even once can be called a devotee. So, and then again, sometimes we see Prabhupada writes that a devotee is freed from all material contamination He has no other desire than to serve Krishna. Anya abhilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyanavritam anukulena krishna anusilanam bhakti uttama. Uttama bhakti, the topmost level of devotion, means that in which the desire for self-aggrandizement by the path of karma on the gross material platform or on the mental platform, that is not being cultivated. Only pure devotional service to Krishna is being cultivated. So these words, anukulyena krishna anushilanam, that means favorable cultivation of devotional service. That means even those who are cultivating Krishna consciousness in such a way, they may not have attained full Krishna consciousness, but they're cultivating Krishna consciousness in that way. They may be called pure devotees also, because they're cultivating Krishna consciousness in that way. As a residual effect, just like that example of the fan which keeps on spinning after it is turned off, as a residual effect, there may still be, or almost always are, traces of material desires. But a devotee who is serious to give up those material desires and fully surrender to Krishna, he may also be called a pure devotee. And then self-realization, there are also levels of self-realization. Anyone who engages in devotional service in that way may be called self-realized, because the activity of the self in the realized state is to serve Krishna. So anyone who engages in Krishna's service seriously, they are engaged in activities of self-realization, they are self-realized. And when a devotee is, by the cultivation of devotional service, becomes completely free from all material desires, then he is fully self-realized. So certainly one cannot be a pure devotee without being self-realized. Self means we have to understand the self in what is the constitutional position of the self. We cannot understand our constitutional position, without understanding what is the position of the self in relation to others. Just like if we say this man is a worker in the motor car factory, then his position is understood in relation to another entity. The mistake of the Mayavadis, they say, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman, without understanding what is the relation, what is the full scope of Brahman, and what is the activity of the soul in Brahman realization. So full realization of the self is to understand the self and everything else in existence. Full realization of the self is to understand the self and everything else that exists. And practically, to understand that we are eternal servants of the Supreme Self. That is why engaging in devotional service is practical self-realization. Others may talk of Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman, but the devotees actually demonstrate their understanding of this by engaging in spiritual activities of service to Krishna. So self-realization without Krishna consciousness is only a very incomplete self-realization. It's like understanding the sun, but not only understanding the sun. The sun is in my room, but not understanding the source of the sunlight. Why did you ask that, in any particular context? Yeah, so they're pure devotees as much as they executed pure devotional service. That's why I was saying pure devotee, or the term devotee or pure devotee, that may be used in different contexts in different times. Certainly all of Prabhupada's disciples are pure devotees in as much as they are following the pure devotional path. But until one becomes a completely pure devotee, there is always the danger of fall down. So yes, pure devotees, all Prabhupada, anyone who's practicing Krishna consciousness is pure devotee, but to be completely pure devotee, they have to become fully purified. As long as they act on the pure devotional path, they're pure devotees. Just like the spark, as long as it is in the fire, it's radiant and glowing. But when it comes out, then it loses its luster. So better not make any mistake, not fall down. You should be very careful about this. Many people come to Krishna consciousness, take it up for some time, and then go away again. We should be very careful not to follow that path. Mahatma nastumang paritha daiving prakritim ashitaha. That those who are devotees, they're under the protection of the divine energy, the internal potency of Krishna. They're not under the material energy, yeah, although they may appear to be. But a devotee, his life comes directly under the jurisdiction of Krishna's internal potency. And as long as he remains within the material world, the internal potency acts on him through the external potency, which is an expansion of the internal potency. As long as he remains within the material world, he remains under the influence of the internal potency acting through the external potency, which is, after all, anyway, just an expansion of the internal potency. And the external potency acts in such a way to help the devotee go back to Godhead.
Yeah.
The internal potency acting through the external potency. Yeah. So that doesn't necessarily mean that everything will be materially very nice for him. It may be the opposite, and in many cases it is. Many times devotees apparently suffer material reverses, but they see that as the hand of Krishna pushing them back to Godhead, teaching them to be convinced that this material world is miserable and taking away their material attachment. Most people who have a crippled concept of devotion to God, they expect that God will arrange their material facilities very nicely. Materialistic religion means praying to God, "God, arrange my material life nicely so I can enjoy sense gratification." That's why materialistic people, even those who claim to believe in God, they cannot really understand this Krishna conscious movement. The whole concept of surrender to Krishna and engaging in His service for His pleasure is foreign to them. The whole concept of surrendering to Krishna and engaging in His service for His pleasure only is foreign to them. Is what foreign? You don't understand the word there?
Foreign.
Here in this context, it means they don't understand it. So it may be that if we engage in Krishna's service, our bodily functions will work very nicely. But most likely, we will have diseases, pains, accidents, and so on. We are not guaranteeing that if you take to Krishna consciousness, your health will improve. Generally, it does, because, or at least, devotees, they don't become so much distressed by every little pain in their body. Everybody has always got something wrong with their body. Is there anyone who can say they have absolutely no problems with their body?
Yeah.
No pains, no nothing. Just, can anyone say? Everyone has problems with their body. Krishna consciousness teaches us not to be too much concerned with these things. You're in this bag of blood and bones for a short time, so use this time to chant Hare Krishna. If there's a leak out of the bag, put a band-aid on it and chant Hare Krishna. Band-aid, this plaster, bandage.
What you said in Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto, that worship of the dead is material thing, and also it is said that...
Have you read it wrong? It was translated wrong. How is it? It can be, if the consciousness of the worshipper is mundane, then the worship can be considered mundane. Otherwise, deity worship, that is transcendental. The form of the deity is Krishna manifested in material elements. It doesn't mean it's mundane. That's the whole misunderstanding of the materialists. They say, why are you worshipping statues? They don't understand that this is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. Maybe you could show these photos to at another time. Time and place for everything. What was the other question about Radha Mag?
You said that the worship of Radha and Krishna is beyond any regulation. And which prescriptions actually these devotees follow who worship Radha and Krishna?
What are you referring to? Deity worship in the temple? Yeah, Prabhupada explained that we worship the deities of Radha and Krishna in the temple, but we are worshipping within Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, according to rules and regulations. Therefore, we worship the deities of Radha and Krishna with the awe and respect that is attributed to Lakshmi and Narayana. So by following that path of worship with awe and respect, we can gradually rise to the path of Radha Marg. But even then, even if a devotee comes to the spontaneous platform, it doesn't mean that he just neglects to worship the deity properly. Or he instead of offering first incense, then lamp, then water, he does it in a different order because it's spontaneous. That's not. In any temple, if rules and regulations are established, they have to be followed. Anyway, we're all a long way from Radha Marg, so we can discuss this philosophically, but there's no need to imitate it. Sometimes devotees are very eager to imitate highly advanced devotees. They think, well, why don't we dance a Rasa Leela like the gopis? Why don't you imitate Prahlad Maharaj and get boiled in a pot of oil? anyone who wants to follow Raga Marg, we'll test them and see if you're actually that much advanced. If you don't get boiled to death, then we'll accept you're actually in Raga Marg. Just like some people want to call themselves incarnation of Krishna. So we have no objection to that. But just Just you hold a hill like Krishna held a hill. You want to dance with the gopis, well, first you hold a hill. And if you can't lift it up, we'll get one big rock and a crane and lower it down on top of you. And then you can hold it for 7 days, or at least 7 seconds. If you do it, we'll accept you as God. We have no objection.
Why devotees are on different levels? Like some devotees, they come to this movement and they become immediately successful Sankirtan devotees, and another, they just they can stay on one level for 6 or some more years. And if the mercy is causeless, then why not everyone can accept it?
Russian. Well, the mercy is causeless, but how much are we taking it? Just like I may give you something, but you have to take it also. One thing is, though, sometimes those devotees who are very successful in the beginning, they are shooting stars. Big, big devotee after 3 days in the movement. And after 3 years, whatever happened to so-and-so? He was doing so nicely. Slow and steady is also nice. Slow and steady is also nice. One of my godbrothers, he used to clean the floors in Washington, D.C. temple for about 15 years. In the meantime, so many big, big devotees came and went. In the meantime, he went on cleaning the floors. So better go on cleaning the floors. And if you can go on, big, big service, day after day, week after week, year after year, that's also very good.
You say that our spiritual body exists eternally, but when we are conditioned, where is our spiritual body?
In dormant state.
With spashyam sustayani. Srila Prabhupada says that one can surrender in 1 second, but usually it doesn't happen. And the question is, how much important the free will? Maybe he can be willing to do it, but he cannot because
if you're willing to do it, then why not do it? No one's stopping you.
He's asking, maybe modes can be obstacle and maybe something.
Yeah,
else.
Well, you know, how many times have I told this story? I'll tell it again. This is a story from Mahabharata. That one, because previously in the days when there was culture, the kings used to hold discussions, philosophical discussions in the court with their ministers who were all Brahmins, learned in scripture. So one time the king gave the question, how can we get free from Maya? So all the different pundits gave their different opinion. Why can't we get free from Maya? The question was. So all the pundits gave their opinion, but then there was one old wise minister who hadn't said anything. So finally everyone looked at him to see what he was going to say. So then he got up and he, in the courtyard, there were so many pillars. He went up and embraced one tightly and started screaming, let me go, please, let me go, let me go. And everyone thought he'd gone mad. So after doing this for a few minutes, he said, this is why we don't get free from Maya. We are holding on to Maya and saying, let me go. If we sincerely desire to surrender to Krishna, we can. It may take some time because we are influenced by the modes of material nature. But then why are we influenced by the modes of material nature? Because we are rascals, that's all. Therefore we have the process. Vaidhi, sadhana, bhakti. Devotional service following rules and regulations. So that we can gradually get rid of the disease of material attachment. But we shouldn't blame it on anyone else. Sometimes we see devotees saying, oh, this Maya is so heavy. Sometimes we hear devotees saying, oh, this Maya is so heavy. Maya is strong, Krishna is stronger. Daivi yesha gunamayi, mama maya, duratyaya, mameva yeprapadyante, maya metam tarantite. Maya is certainly very strong. But if we surrender to Krishna, we can easily cross beyond Maya. Oh,
Krishna must receive Maya.
Jai. Hari Bol. Jai. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear Uddhav saying that by accepting the remnants of your food, garlands, etc., we can easily